Okay, let's ask the great intercessor we have in the Spirit of God to help us. Lord, I do pray you to open our eyes, open our ears, cleanse this place with the shed blood of Christ, to remove all static and distractions from unclean spirits so we might fully understand this. And I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of times people ask about evidences of God. And actually, you can see the evidences against God more, and that verifies God. I mean, it's amazing the distractions that occurs when a person is trying to do something for the Lord. And the closer we get to the Lord's coming, the more tougher things are going to be. Okay, 1 Timothy 2, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, that's the word we're going to look at, intercessions, be made for, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us to be testified in due time. Okay, the third word there, intercessions, you have supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks. To intercede for somebody means that you're going to intervene on their behalf. Okay, where a lot of people are just plodding along and they just don't have no direction. Many people are just blindly walking down a road to deception and destruction. And God desires each and every one of us to intercede for another. As grandparents or parents, it's like the one guy said, if I'd have known grandchildren were so fun, I would have skipped the children and just went right to the grandchildren. But even at that, we desperately need to be praying for the next generation, our children and grandchildren, because of the pressure that's put on them. Young people, I can't imagine the pressure that you're going to be facing. You know, if you're in public school, the pressure that's put on you is just amazing. And so no wonder people are falling by the wayside so much because of the pressure, the spiritual oppression. But yet, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And so we can live above the circumstances. Now, and if you look at the message on the far right, I have some handwritten verses. That was in the middle of the night when I was stalking a fireplace, you know, and the Lord said, add this. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to get up and write it down. Remind me in the morning. And then in the morning I got up and said, What were those verses? Oh, yeah, I remember now. Okay, and these are two places, one in the Old at the end of the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. And have you ever wondered, like in Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, okay, when a U.S. soldier gets captured by those, you know, people and those cultures, you know, they just tear the body apart and then they hang it up and then they have their kids see this. I mean, how bizarre is that? How can you have such bizarre, unreasonable behavior in these places? Malachi 1:3 says that that place is an infestation of dragons. That's where they take up residence in that area. And that's why you see such outlandish, absurd behavior. Okay, in the Revelation 18:2, okay, if you ever take a trip, Ash is the only one in our family that's been to Rome. But she said, man, you could just feel the presence of evil in Rome. Okay, that's the center point of it. Revelation 18:2 says that that Babylon, that mystery Babylon, is a habitation of devils. They inhabit that area. So when you see the Pope with red shoes, what kind of a person does that? Those shoes, the undercurrent of that idea is that those shoes are made out of the skin of people, children in particular. What kind of a mindset does that? Somebody infested. Like the maniac of Gadara, that's somebody infested. Now, I've seen a few of these through my time. But most of the time, I watch people's eyes, especially, you know, when I'm dealing with them on the street, I watch their eyes. And I have seen people that I could talk about the Bears, the Bulls, you know, sports, the weather, you know, the current events. And as soon as I shifted over to Jesus Christ or the Bible, I've seen their eyes glass over like they smoked a weed that fast and got high. But their eyes glassed over and they were not going to see anything that I was going to show them. I could actually open the Bible up and they say, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. And what that is a spirit that has manifested itself to blind them and to cause their hearing to go bad. Not their physical hearing, but the words that come out of the person's mouth will be twisted by a spirit. So this person hears what the spirit, unclean spirit, wants them to hear. And so it's a lot of static, a lot of static. Okay, when you got a lot of static, people can't really get the truth. One time there's a foreigner, an African, came over here, and you know, he was talking to people, and he would talk like, and he would say, you know, this is very, and they say, wow, you speak perfect English. How did you learn? From ham radio. And so that's all the static part. He thought that went with it, you know. And so a lot of times people have this static that they cannot hear what you're saying. Even though you're talking, they see your lips moving, they hear certain words, okay, but they're going to hear what the spirits want them to hear. And so what we need to do is to be able to break through that barrier. And the Bible gives us those ways. There's an intercession the Bible wants us to do. Now, once we can break through this, that doesn't mean that that party is going to accept what we say. We cannot force what we believe on them, what we believe on upon them. We cannot force them to accept it. But we can hinder the spirits that cause the static. That we can do. Okay? And we can pray against the unclean spirits in order to clear the way. Now, on occasion, and I give you the reference there, on occasion, in Jeremiah, at the end of the span of Judah, God told Jeremiah, he said, do not intercede for these people. Don't do it. He said, I will not listen to you. Now, that's a pretty bad society, and you'll see that in Jeremiah. Now, he told Elijah, and you'll see this in Romans 11, he says, I want you to intercede for Israel, but I want you to intercede against them. And what he did is Elijah prayed that it would not rain. Get up and please don't let it rain today, Lord. Don't let it rain today. And he did that for 3.5 years, and it didn't rain. And God was trying to make Israel so desperate. Some people will not wake up until they are so desperate. Okay? And so he was making Israel so desperate. Then Elijah had the contest and everything. And he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? And so, now, did he reach some of the folks? I think a few here and there, but not too many. But the desperation, a lot of people will not seek counsel until they're desperate. A lot of people won't take care of their body until they're desperate. Okay? And so that's, sometimes you got to try to make people, get them in a state of desperation. And there's ways of doing that. But even at that. And then in the Isaiah 59, this is when Israel's getting ready to be destroyed. And the Lord was amazed. He as he looked down at Israel, he said, I wondered that there was no intercessor. And when there's a society where nobody cares, nobody's interceding, that's tragic. Now, the reason why I do believe that America is still floating, and I would like America to keep floating because I'm on the ship, is evidently there are still some interceders praying for our country, asking, begging God to have mercy. Not proudly demanding God to bless America, but begging God to have mercy. And so I think we ought to be more effective in our intercessions. Okay, so the couple of thoughts there. All of us, all believers, okay, everybody who's born again has two perfect intercessors. Perfect, just pure, perfect. And of course, the Lord Jesus, where he's given us, given salvation, he has stood in our place, everyone's place. He paid the price for everyone, but sadly, how few receive it. Giving him our, he is the great interceder. Plus, he didn't just, shall we say, save us. He wants us to walk. He's invested in every believer, and he wants a little investment back. And according to Romans 8, he is interceding for us. Now, if somebody texts you, you know, when Jan sends out those texts about praying, it's a blessing to see praying. Well, the text from heaven is John 17, where Jesus is praying for every believer. Now, he's promised in that text that we're going to make it through. That's going to be maybe rough along the way, but hey, you can't fall out of the love of God because of John 17 prayer. Okay, but then there's another intercessor. If you would go to Romans, and we'll take time to look at some of these, and I'm giving you the references so that you want to put more study into it. But if things get really ugly, and on occasions it has gotten really ugly, and I know the story of some folks that, you know, maybe it gets really bad where you've been, you know, if I can't start listing some of the oppressions, the troubles, the struggles, the trials that people have gone through, and if it gets so bad, there's a situation that gets so bad for you, you just don't think you can make it through, here's the suggestion. Crawl up like a little baby in the womb. Just ball yourself up in a little baby in a womb and cry, beg, plead. And guess what? The Holy Ghost is going to intercede for you. He's going to pray the right way. And that's, you'll find that in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. There we go. I mean, just crawl up in a little ball like a baby in the womb, and just cry your heart out. And let the Spirit take over. Verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There's a lot more done with that than anything. So that's what the Comforter will do. Okay, now the Apostle Paul, and if you would go to Ephesians, the Apostle Paul gives some more details, insights into this. Now, I'm not one where, you know, you blame the devil for everything. The devil may be done, you know, and all that stuff. But we do need to be wise and start spiritual and work down toward the flesh. Now, I recognize my biggest enemy is moi, you know, my flesh, me. Okay, and so, but yet I know that unclean spirits are growing as mosquitoes and flies. They increase and they can continue to put pressure, and they can be in locations. And sometimes it's past family members. If you have maybe witchcraft, family members of the past, or Freemasons, or things in the past that this can funnel through your family. Or maybe someone who was, you know, maybe into some dark stuff. When they die, where do their spirits go? They can go to family members. And so a person has to be on guard. We have to be alert to these things. You don't have to wear mushrooms or, you know, a silver bullet or a cross, you know, to make sure that the vampires stay away. You know, I don't know, maybe if we have Bill Snedman back, we can have a silver bullet and see how, all that stuff. But still, the idea is that we need to be vigilant. The Bible says watch and pray. Praying is one thing. Watching is discerning your spirit. Okay, why am I discouraged? Why am I depressed? Why am I excited? Okay, and so the thing is, we watch our mood, and we got to be alert to these things. In Ephesians 2, He says in verse 2 that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So a lot of this activities through the air around us, what we call the first heaven or the atmosphere, whatever, it's all around us, and it's floating through the air. Its words are going through the air. And this is why maybe if you've been riding in a car together with somebody and you think a thought and you verbalize a thought, and then that person says, I was just thinking about that. Okay, where these words are floating through and you both picked it up, one verbalized it. God can give us words. The devil can give us words. They can both give us words at the same time. God can read what we're going to do with it. The devil can't. That's his limitation. So we need to be alert to the prince of the power of the air. Words are really spirits with wings. And they're going all over. And we have to be alert to these things. Now in Ephesians 1, the great prayer that we, any of us could pray and should pray, is in Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. And again, I'm just going to kind of scroll down through these, generalize them. But if you got good speed reading skills, run 15 to 23, you see it's all one sentence. And you see that it's a prayer. And then the actual request of the prayer will come after the word that. Okay, so you have in verse 16, prayers. Then he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So right there, the heart of that prayer is simple. God, please open my eyes. Please open my eyes. Open the eyes of my loved one. Open the eyes of my friend. Because most people are just walking around blind. Now, people walking around blind, if they're physically blind, if they stumble over something, we don't get mad at them because they're physically blind. It's just a handicap they have. Well, why don't we do the same thing if somebody's spiritually blind? A lot of times we are impatient because somebody don't see what I see. Hey, they're spiritually blind. Okay, and we've all expressed impatience with it. Why don't you see this? There's something covering it up. And this is a prophecy that Isaiah wrote about people being blind. And that passage is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and again in Hebrews 7 times about people being blind. Okay, they're blind about the signs of the times. They're blind about Scripture. They're blind about a lot of things. And so a wise as an individual at first prays for yourself. God, please open my eyes. Please open my eyes. Open my eyes to what it says. And then whoever the Lord might have you intervene for, and the Lord has you to witness to, ask the Lord to open their eyes. If you want a simple verse, Psalm 119, 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And it's the Lord that can do that, to open the eyes. And then if you go to Ephesians 3, there's another prayer starting in verse 14 and 19. Now the first one is prayer for enlightened eyes. The second one is prayer for an empowered life. So you can live what you learn. And you pray that this party lives what they learn. You'll see in verse 14, he's on his knees. And then in verse 16, there's the word that. So there's a specific request that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. And so forth. Comprehend, in this context, the love of God. This is an empowered life. Okay, this is living what one learns. Now, if a person's new to this, a lot of times, around highly educated people, they usually talk about narrow-mindedness, people who aren't open-minded. And I've experienced the more educated a person is, the more closed-minded that they usually are. They claim to think that you, a Bible thumper, is a narrow-minded bigot. Well, talk to me. I like to learn from anybody. You know, why is it that you won't are not willing to check Jesus Christ out? I'm willing to check out Charles Darwin. I've checked him out. I'm willing to check out anything, research it. Okay, how about just trying the Gospel of John, and would you please just consider Jesus Christ? Well, I don't care what you say. Okay, then there's nothing you're going to do for somebody like that. In 2 Peter says they're willfully ignorant. What can you do for... Ignorance is one thing, but willful ignorance is totally different. Okay, so now in Ephesians 6... Okay, now, so basically, it's like armed warfare, but we're not duking it out with anybody. You know, you probably could get more, confessions if you whip out a gun and say, if you died right now, do you know for sure you're... Well, you know, you might get some reaction that way. It's like one kid down at Purdue, you know, he was telling me he didn't believe the Bible, and I said, okay, in the Bible it says if you wring forth a nose, it bringeth forth blood. Can I prove that to you? He didn't see the sense of humor of that. You know, I could just pop you in the nose and watch the blood out, see the Bible's true, ha, ha, ha. You know, but not real effective. But even at that, we're like a foot soldier. Now, before the foot soldiers or the grunts go in, what does a wise military usually do first? The Air Force comes over and loosens it up, drops the bombs. Why? You just don't want to send the soldiers in without loosening them up. And so that's what the prayer does. You're sending in the Spirit of God to loosen things up, and then the foot soldier comes in. In Ephesians 6, it says, finally, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now there you go, wrestling. Okay? Now the thing is, in verse 12, we're talking to flesh and blood, but we're wrestling with the spirits influencing flesh and blood. And when you wrestle, you're interwoven with the spirits. Okay, and this is what, you know, that's all about. When I was in high school, you know, I was peewee, I was a short kid coming up, and I still liked basketball. Besides, the big guys need the short guys to pass them the ball anyway. And so a couple of guys wanted me to, hey, why don't you be a wrestler? I don't like wrestling. And so a couple of them, they ganged up on me, so we wrestled back and forth a little bit. But I stuck with basketball. And so, but even at that, wrestling is you're interwoven with the opponent. And so when you're talking to a flesh and blood person, there are spirits that you're wrestling against. You're not trying to outsmart flesh and blood. You're trying to combat against the spirits who are influencing flesh and blood. So that's very significant. And so what a person needs to do is you kind of, when the soldiers come into urban warfare, they get to, shall we say, clear the area before they come in. They clear the area. How do we do that? If you would look in Ephesians 4:26. Okay, now this one is one sentence, but it's in two verses, and he says, be angry, okay, right kind of anger, and sin not. Now, most people that say that I have righteous anger is usually the wrong anger anyway, but be angry and sin not, and then it says, neither give place to the devil. Okay, now again, the Bible wants us to think that through. Be angry, sin not. Okay, so if I'm angry more than a few hours, and if I don't take care of this thing that I'm mad about before the sun goes down, neither give place to the devil, is this give advantage to unclean spirits, and can they take up residence and come into my bedroom at nighttime because I went to bed mad, and does that mean that these devils can come in and influenced my thinking and all this stuff. That's exactly what that means. And it could take up residence in a place. And what a person does, they're tying their hands behind their back and trying to wrestle. So you got to clear the area. And you do that by prayer. Now, I have a very extensive prayer in the reference Bible, and it's at Nehemiah 13:30. And like when I preach elsewhere, while everybody else is singing right before I'm to preach, I'm in the back or somewhere whispering, and I'm praying through Nehemiah 13:30 to clear the area. Okay, and that's very necessary because I don't know what goes on in places. We don't know what goes on in certain places. We don't know what's going on in a house. When you travel, you get in a motel room. Do you know what went on the night before in that motel room? Do you know maybe somebody had their little, you know, seance or something in there or some demonic activity and a couple of them hung around? And you got to clear the area. Okay, and this is very important as far as that. And plus, we got to bind unclean spirits. The Lord has given this power. He gave the power to the apostles, and he's told us these things also. Okay, and the references are there. We can bind unclean spirits. Okay, and sometimes you can kind of see it. If you're talking to somebody and you've seen your eyes glass over, that's a good time to just make a Nehemiah prayer. Or say, could you give me a drink of water? And they're out getting you a drink of water, or you're there praying. And all this stuff. Trying to clear the air, trying to get the static out of the way. Prayer for the individual, I have a very short one in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. That one says pray without ceasing, but there's a, you know, I pray against all spirits that are hindering so-and-so. And if they're in your house or if it's a friend or in the office, I would suggest to pray these things verbally but quietly. I don't say, you know, may God, you know, I mean, just quietly because they're like dogs. Dogs can hear very well, but they can't read your mind. And so just praying against the spirits that could be influencing that person, and you might see a different reaction when you can break through that barrier. Okay, in the hand-to-hand combat, in back in Ephesians, you have Ephesians 6:18. And this one, again, shows that while you're talking to a person about, you know, truth, the gospel, whatever the topic is, you're praying. Okay, even while you're talking to them, you can be uttering prayers to the Lord. You can pray to the Lord silently, asking him for wisdom, asking him to give you the right words. When they throw a question out, and it's not a question you could sidestep. Sometimes devils sidestep things. Okay, and so if the question's thrown out where it's one that you need to answer, and if you don't know the answer, don't worry about that. You ask and repeat it. And while they're repeating it, you're praying. I've done this where I didn't know the answer, let alone the question. And so I said, I don't understand what you asked. Would you ask that again? And when they're asking again, I'm praying, Lord, you got to help me out. Lord, you got to help me out. And by the time they're done, I get the answer. I'm giving them the answer, thinking to myself, wow, that's pretty good. But it was the Spirit that gave the answer. I learned something, and it satisfied them. Then I got back to the witness. That's a Nehemiah prayer. You'll see that in Nehemiah 2, where a guy asked him a question, he prayed about it, and he got the answer, boom, right on the spot. And that's praying. But then there's another thing in that passage in verse 18, praying and watching. Watching is a discernment of the spiritual influence. Okay, in the New Agey world, they talk about an aura. And when you mention that word, Christian, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Hey, they've got some science intermingled with pseudoscience. And we could pull the science out. Yes, all of us have an aura. We have an electromagnetism energy around us. Okay, and the world's based on electromagnetism. And this is often spirits, and we can recognize, discern things, your mood. That's how those mood rings work. It picks up on that science. And so we got to be alert to that. If you would, try Malachi 2. Okay, like in wrestling, you ever see in wrestling where the coach is on the side and he's yelling instructions to the player? Hopefully the guy's able to do it. But then you got to discern your spirit. In Malachi 2, verse 15, the second, right after that question, it's got a couple questions, then a sentence, and then a sentence. At the therefore, I want you to see it, therefore. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. That's being watchful. Take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your, do you feel lethargy? Are you depressed? Are you discouraged? Are you excited? Are you upbeat? Figure that out why. In 1 Timothy, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. But notice, if a person doesn't take heed to this spirit, an end result could be, notice it says, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. And he mentions that again in 16, and he says, for the Lord God of Israel saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously. And the implications are there, if a person doesn't take heed to their spirit, that words can come out of their mouth that can do a lot of damage. I mean, okay, if a person feels like they got to take it out on somebody, go kick the cat. Take the cat and throw it out. I mean, kick the dog. I know environmentalists, animal rights people don't like that. It's almost like they would rather you kick a human. Throw a rock at the chicken. Okay, do it to an animal. But don't take it out on a child. Don't take it out on a loved one. I mean, the words that people say is just phenomenal. You know, Aleister Crowley is kind of known as a demonic guy. He had 666, you know. And anybody knows about that word, Aleister Crowley. He was raised by Christian parents. His dad was a Plymouth Brethren lay evangelist, where he would travel place to place. And while his dad was out traveling, preaching in these churches, his mom would say to him when he'd get rambunctious, well, you're just going to grow up to be the devil. Well, he did, because of words that are expressed. You know, words expressed can cut right in, and the spirit, and the devil knows, or spirits know, that when he can get somebody depressed and they want to take it out on somebody, they can take those words and cut right into that heart and soul of that child. It's just phenomenal. When we lived in Colorado Springs, I had a bus ministry, and we're in this apartment building, and one Saturday I'm getting ready knocking, and I can hear yelling and screaming going on inside. I said, I'm just going to listen to this for a while. And I just stood there and listened, until a point to where I thought it was going to get physical. And right there, I knocked on the door. And then it came there, oh, I just want to see if your kids can come to church tomorrow. You know, trying to get them all, cut it out. You know what goes behind closed doors? God is recording. And the abuse that's taken place, you know, somebody who's abusive needs to be reported. I mean, rat them out. You don't need to be putting up with that. You know, a person don't need to be putting up. Now, with kids, it's sad, but kids got to kind of grow into figuring this out. And usually around 11, 12, they kind of figure it out. But sometimes they're stuck in that situation. I'll tell you, what people say amongst in their house is just appalling. And the reason why is they're not taking heed to their spirit. And that's why you need to be playing some good Christian music in the house, because that good music will at least annoy the spirits and they don't want to be around. So it's very good to be playing music, you know, throughout the house. Because remember that David played the harp and the unclean spirits left Saul. And this is why when you go into businesses, they'll have this wicked music, because they know that that could influence people. And so we need to outsmart that. We need to be watchful and check our spirits. Why? Because we're trying to recover somebody who's caught in a snare of the devil. And 2 Timothy talks about the snare of the devil. And you got to try to get in there and try to rescue them from that. Now in Ephesians 6, it also talks about some weapons that we have available. But I'm just going to run through some. Okay, in Mark chapter 9, verse 29, okay, there's a story that goes on there where this little boy had, played Pokemon cards, and, you know, he had played D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, and he had, read Harry Potter and the Twilight series when he got to be, you know, up a little bit later. And he was so infested, and the dad was so discouraged, so downhearted. He was just at a loss. He didn't know what to do. He brought the little fella to the apostles. They couldn't cast out the spirits. And then they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus asked the father, what do you want? He said, well, you know, this one. He said, are you going to believe? He said, I believe, but man, help my unbelief. He'd been to so many psychiatrist, he's been to here, he's been there, and he's been promised so many things. And then the Lord just took care of it. And the apostle said, how come we couldn't do that? He said, this kind cometh but by prayer and fasting. Now, how you know that's vital is because the New Bibles take that verse out. They take the entire verse out. Now, even in the cross-reference, they leave part of the verse in, but they take out "and fasting." So you lose the whole idea, the power of prayer and fasting. There are some, man, there are some cases you're just going to have to really take it serious and lose a meal over it to cleanse it. That's Mark 9. In Acts 19, was the only time the word exorcist is found in the Bible. I never saw this movie, but exorcist. It's an exiting out of unclean spirits. And in Acts 19, it was done by the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's power in that name. Okay, if there's no God, why do these people behave this way when you say the Lord Jesus Christ? If Jesus Christ is a myth, why do they act that way? You know, you get around a Satanist. I'm a Satanist. Anyone? I'm a Satanist. I think it's funny. I look at it and say, well, you worship a loser. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and watch their eyes. He's got power. You see? And you just... you let your big brother take care of it. He's our elder brother, according to Hebrews. So you let your big brother step in, take care of it. The name of Jesus Christ. But I tell you, there's something to that. And then the blood of Jesus Christ. This is universal. Hebrews 9:14. Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And churches who are not singing about the blood of Jesus Christ anymore, no wonder they're in apostasy. So soak your house in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Soak your mind in his blood. Soak your children in his shed blood, where it cleanses and shields. And a lot of times, like when you play in sports, you thought you knew the game, you've been at it for years, but you forgot to do something. So a lot of times we forget. And so we remember that the blood of Jesus Christ is readily available. And then the offensive weapon we have is the Word of God, this book. Why do you think the New Bibles water everything down? Now, missionaries, it's funny. Years ago, Bill Sneblin was speaking at a women's missionary fellowship. And he, in that, there was an old missionary sitting in the back listening to Bill talk. And Bill kind of gently said to these folks, he said, "Now, you really need to be using the King James Bible." And those people bucked at it. And the missionary at the end raised his hand. He said, "I've been on the mission field for a long, long time." He says, "I know from personal experience that if you don't quote from the King James Bible, spirits will not do anything." Why? Because those are guided by unclean spirits. There's power in this book. I mean, there's so much power in this book that if a mosquito bites you and takes some blood, he'll fly away. There's power in the blood. Okay? And so these are weaponry. These are spiritual warfare. And I'm shocked that the Bible, fundamentalist Bible, they're not talking about these things. They think it's too spooky. Hey, you're dealing with an entity. An entity that knows this Bible better than we do. And so we need to be on guard. And this book right here is the one that shows us how to do it. To be intercessors. The Lord might just, you just might be the person that can only reach that person to intercede for them. And you might be the only one. And we got our sphere of influences that the Lord has for each and every one of us. And what a joy it would be to see the fruitfulness of this. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand these ideas. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to pray about opened eyes. Please open our eyes. And I know that when we pray that prayer, that you're looking in our heart and seeing, okay, it's not quite there yet. They're not sincere enough. And I just pray you'd help us to have a sincere heart, a willing heart, a willing mind. And I pray you'd help us to be people who want to be interceders and intercede for family, for friends, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our great-grandchildren. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The piano will play. If you'd like to use the altar, it's open for you. Lord, thank you for what you've given us in the scriptures to show us these things. And I pray you'd help us to be good intercessors, to intercede for others, people who are just blindly walking down a path to destruction or just trying to exist, just existing in life. And I just pray you'd help us to be people that can show them the Lord Jesus Christ has come so you can have a life and life more abundantly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.